Welcome to the Church Awakening Podcast, where you get real talk for real church. We are bringing the Great Awakening to the American church and sharing biblical truth to expose false narratives and remove hindrances to effective biblical discipleship. The next great harvest of souls is happening now, so get ready to be the Church Awakened.
Hello, I'm Merrill.
And I'm Russell.
And we are the hosts of the Church Awakened podcast. Each week, we bring you practical, scriptural insight focused on a particular area of church life and ministry.
Evidence-based truth about world events, and additional resources to awaken and equip you for the next great harvest.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Church Awakened podcast. And let's go ahead and jump right in.
All right, let's do
today,
this.
Today we are talking about the subject of community, building community in the body of Christ. I want to start out by reading a scripture from Acts chapter 2. It tells us what community looked like in the body of Christ at the very beginning. Okay, and we're going to use this kind of a launch pad. This is going to be our standard. And it's going to give us a really, really simple plan for building community in the body of Christ. All right, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers worked together and had everything in common. And we're just going to leave it at that. All right, Russell, let's talk about what you and I have kind of experienced in community in church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've had good experiences and I've had bad experiences.
Right.
The good experiences were times where I really felt like I was a part of a community, an integral part of a body of believers, that I knew people and they knew me.
Right.
Okay. But I have to say probably over the last, 20 years, the last two decades, it has been a real struggle to connect with a body of believers to the point where I actually felt like I was a part of it.
Okay.
And I've seen this happen over and over. There have been times when I've gone into a church and my wife and I will sit there week after week after week after week for months and never be able to develop a single friendship. And it just seems to happen over and over more and more frequently to people when they come into a church. If they're not like an established part, like if it wasn't the community where they grew up, and it wasn't the church they grew up in, or if they weren't close to certain members of the church or staff members or whatever, it's almost like you've got like 20 to 40% of the people on the inside. Then you got like 60 to 80% of the people are just kind of on the peripheral, just kind of attendees.
Right.
You know, not really part of the community. Yeah. So what are some things that you've experienced in regards to community and church?
Sure. I like what you ended up saying, where you've had good experiences and bad experiences. Mm-hmm. And then for me, that I grew up in a church. And so looking at this, I know that we're talking about community, through the eyes of a child. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to get to church. I also couldn't wait to be able to have events that were outside the church with the people that were in the church. I had a church experience all the time with the family and friends that was a part of this church. So our community was 24/7 when it came to us getting to know one another and us experiencing life together, and it was outstanding. So we had a life experiencing in the four walls of the church and outside the four walls of the church. Then, and I like what you ended up saying, like 20 years into it, here I am 49 years, and if I looked at my 20 years experience, it changed.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm asking that question, like, did I change or did the church change when it comes to the community aspect of living life?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm still kind of questioning myself whether they were just young eyes and now I got old eyes that have been tarnished to life experiences in the church and outside the church. I'm kind of swaying that our culture has changed and has affected the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that's the case, then we need to recognize that and we need to change it back.
Now, was this a small town that you're talking about that you kind of grew up in, or?
Nope, Lansing, Michigan. So okay. We're talking about the capital of Michigan. So it's it was a pretty good community.
Okay.
And went to a Church of Christ, and we had different Churches of Christ throughout that Lansing area.
Yeah.
But we were always, and we weren't in competition, but yet we were, like, say, you know, softball or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bowling, things. But there was a kindred spirit within each one of, with all of us.
Yeah. You know?
And there was a pure love. You could feel it, and you could sense it. We always could not wait to get together and do it, whether it was a picnic, whether it was the softball tournaments, the bowling, the basketball, whatever it was, we would come together and have a ball and have a blast. Church outside of church.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. And I think that is what it's supposed to look like. It was the same experience for me. In the church that I got saved in, of course, we were in church like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, this is back in the 90s when you went to church three times a week. Yeah. You know, you're always in church.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time in church, and that created the opportunity for us to spend a lot of time around the people because we didn't immediately run off from church and go and head home straight away.
Right.
Yeah, we would spend time, just hang out and just chat with people. I remember still being invited over to people's houses, you know, getting together with people outside of church.
Right.
And then the church I went to, I was in the Air Force in the military, and I got reassigned to Japan, Yokota, Japan. And, again, it was the same experience there, but even on a deeper level that, when my first service there, some friends of mine, Felix and Diane Martinez, they and some others were going out to lunch, and they threw my bike in their van, and they like invited me out to lunch with them. Like, cause I was like the new guy by myself. My family hadn't come over yet, cause you had to get housing first before your family was allowed to come over. So, and from then on, I was just like constantly with these people and whether it's in church, and it was like the Sunday thing to do was to either bring, you know, take people over to your house or go out to lunch somewhere and hang out. And of course, then you'd go home for a couple hours for a nap and then you'd be right back to church, you know, but, and then maybe after service on a Sunday, people plan to get together and go to somebody's house for ice cream or whatever. Now it wasn't an every single week thing, but it was more often than not.
And during that time, you're building relationships.
Building relationships, exactly. Right. Because outside of church, that's where you really get to know people.
Sure.
Not inside church.
No.
Because like you said, inside church, you see their church. You see their, you're in the structure.
Yeah.
You're following the program.
Right.
And people have their church faces on, their church clothes on.
Yep.
And you don't really get to know people in church. Because the focus isn't on each other.
No.
It's on God. It's on worship. It's on the pastor's message.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things.
Right.
Which
is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But pastors, it's important for you to know that and acknowledge that the people in your congregation, they don't get to know each other in church.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Doesn't.
Okay.
That's 5 minute times of, okay, you know, hug your neighbor across you. Give him a high five. You know, that little time period does not
exactly
build a relationship.
So that's the first thing we want to really point out to you pastors and also any believers who are watching this.
Sure.
All right. Church meetings do do not produce relationships.
Right, right.
They don't do it.
No. Nope.
Okay, so if you're thinking that that is automatically happening because you're getting together for church, that you're building community and building relationships, wrong. Right. You're not. It's not happening.
So it's going to take effort.
Yes.
To build those relationships outside the four walls.
Yes.
And in doing, in you sharing your story and all that, it also reminded me too, is like, in order for us to be able to get that, that community, we also had service in at heart. So we would help out that widow that needed that yard done.
Yeah.
We would help that lady that was down the street that just happened to have a divorce, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But she needed some stuff done around the house, and we were there to be able to help her out.
Yeah.
Clean things that was inside the house that she needed outside the house. We got ourselves involved with the needs of the community.
Yeah.
And that was another fun aspect when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And, unfortunately, I haven't seen that much hunger within the churches today to do the same thing.
Yeah,
that I did
yeah.
as a kid.
Exactly.
So
that's right. And the, I think the reason why these good experiences happened, like particularly for us in Japan, is because in Japan we were this isolated American community on this base. Mm. Yeah, there were a lot of people, but we were pretty much isolated from our families and all the people back home in America. And American type stuff, even despite what we had on the base. Mm-hmm. But all we had there was each other and fellow believers. So we went to each other's kids' birthday parties. Mm-hmm. We went, we had dinner together. We ate lunch together. We did all the different church activities together. The church would plan campouts and picnics and stuff. And we would all go to those together. We were constantly together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing when I went to Guam, when I went to the church in Guam. Right away, I'm the new guy, and I'm getting invitations to people's birthday parties, kids' birthday parties, invitations over for Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, they just like sucked me right in like they had known me forever.
Yeah. And now, this wasn't the pastor per se. This no, was the just people within.
The people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just the people.
Yep. Yeah, so with you sharing that, that this kind of gets me excited for you pastors. This isn't your responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. You can't program relationship building.
No.
It has to happen organically, naturally.
You got it.
So, pastors, even your small groups that you put together, that's a step in the right direction.
Right.
But that even that's programmed.
Mm-hmm.
People sign up and they attend. And they go home.
Right.
Now, there may be fellowship time built into that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you don't necessarily really build relationships in a programmed, structured way.
It's You'll gotta, be held back. It won't be real and raw.
Exactly. Because again, the focus isn't on each other. We're doing the small group.
Right.
You know? So you know, I think a big aspect of this is, like you were saying, culture has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that pastors have to acknowledge is that American life, you know, is, you know, the church, American church is a part of American life.
Sure.
And with the, we don't have to go to the movies anymore because we have Netflix and we got all the Amazon Prime and all the streaming services.
Right.
We have the game consoles. We have all of the high tech entertainment that we need is right in our house.
Right.
Our houses are for the most part, generally comfortable, places that we like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, our American society has become isolationist, separates people. We separate each from each other because it's just comfortable. Mm-hmm. We're very, you know, most often we're very, especially in your middle class people, upper class people, we're very self-sufficient, self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
We don't seem to feel like we need each other,
right?
Or need anybody else.
Right.
And we work hard all week long. Most of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this mindset that when we're not working, We just want to veg out and just relax and be alone.
Yeah.
And so
that vegging part, it's not bad.
I mean,
you can do that with people.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have to do it isolated and alone.
Yeah. Now, alone time is good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But anything taken to an extreme can be bad.
Right. Our balance is off.
Yeah, exactly. Our balance is off.
Yeah.
And so, basically,
Have lost the sense of value within building relationships.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So we now know and understand that our value system has changed. Great thing is we can change it back.
Yeah.
And so with us pastors, we need to be able to get back to showing that value and why it's so important to be able to have that hunger of building good, solid relationships outside the four walls of the church.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we know that culture changed America as we began to move into cities, bigger cities were more spread out. People that attend the same church, they might live miles and miles from each other with a whole lot of houses and businesses and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And they just never run into each other. I had an interesting experience the other night where I was in downtown Melbourne. I actually ran into somebody I knew. And that was really odd because that typically never happens.
Yeah.
You know, when you live in a city.
Right.
So we don't see each other enough because we're not around each other as much as culture used to be when it was rural America, small towns,
right,
where you didn't have all this entertainment at home. So for entertainment, you got out of the house.
Right.
House was a place where you went to eat and you went to sleep.
Right.
And hang out for a bit. But all the fun, the entertainment, the excitement was all outside the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you got outside with friends.
Right.
You did stuff outdoors.
Right.
You picnic with, maybe you did a picnic and birthday parties with other families. Mm-hmm. Sunday get-togethers where you have multiple families get together and have lunch and cook together. You do probably the best thing that I've ever seen to produce community is a potluck. Mm. Potluck.
Yeah.
You make your dinner. I'll make my dinner. Right. Let's get together and eat our meals together.
Mm-hmm.
What is so difficult about that? So culture's changed. And so what do we got to do to reverse that? Well, we need to get people back to doing what the Bible says. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They said, we are going to hang out with each other.
Right.
Well, that's pretty easy to do when you're being persecuted by the Romans.
Sure.
You know, and depending on the situation.
Right.
You know, but we're going to spend time together.
Yeah.
And then it even actually says all the believers were together. All right. And they broke bread together. These were people, this is not spiritual. Right. It's very simple and practical. They went to the temple for worship, even as believers.
Mm-hmm.
But then they met and the apostles would come over and teach from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just hung out together.
You know, my mind is just wandering to so many different ideas and thoughts and concepts. And maybe we need to be able to keep the church open past lunchtime.
Wow, that's an amazing idea. Absolutely. Yeah. How about we don't just rush everybody out the door? How about we say, you know, plan something for after the services? Hey, after the services, we're doing, I don't know, coffee.
A potluck meal.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, leave it open.
Yeah,
and give the people the time to build the fellowship and to build those relationships, and out of that time together, man, they're gonna also gives them the ability to minister to one another.
Yeah,
so
there you go
in the comfort of the four walls.
Yeah,
but you're offering that time, and you're not pressurizing them to be able to do it quickly.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
You're not a timeline.
Yeah,
but. Because our ultimate goal is to be able to get to a place that we have good, solid relationships with one another so that we can have the comfort to be able to minister at the time of need.
Yeah.
And right now everything is such a rush, and it's so me oriented, and it's isolated that we don't have the flexibility and the freedom to truly build that relationship for that ministry to happen. Because ultimately the pastor, your responsibility isn't to cover everything.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, you need to learn to delegate and to trust the congregation.
Yeah.
Trust God, because God trusts the people, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I think that will really kind of open up a lot more for us to be able to do in today's culture.
Sure, sure, definitely. And that's absolutely a part of it. But it doesn't necessarily have to be for ministry purposes.
Right.
It can be just to hang out and talk. Yeah. And, gosh, there was something I was thinking of. It went right out of my mind. Yeah. The point is, you just have to encourage your congregation to get together. Pastor, it can start with you and say, hey, you know, I'm going to take this new guy. Hey, you guys want to come out to lunch with us?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I've seen it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, yeah, too. I've seen it too.
And we're not saying that you're not doing that, pastors, at all. But we are definitely strongly encouraging you to be that example so other people within your flock see that and then does it on their own.
Yeah, exactly. And just tell them, you know, just don't try to program it.
Right.
Don't say that we have a lunchtime get-together program that we're starting. Who wants to sign up and we'll connect you with it? No, don't try to run it all.
Don't
take that burden on yourself for one thing, because you're already probably busy enough. Mm-hmm. But just a word of encouragement. Hey, you know, take somebody out to lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, invite somebody to your home. Probably the best. I got it. I know what I was going to go back to.
Yeah.
Within the church, I think one of the best tools for building relationships was Sunday school.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, for the most part, most churches in America have done away with Sunday school.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think once we did that and got rid of that, I think that was a start of decline in relationships, as well as a major factor in biblical illiteracy.
Yeah.
The people don't know the Bible.
Right.
So if you want to start to build relationships and make people stronger in their faith and in their knowledge of the Bible, bring back your Sunday school program.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing Christian education again, because people will, you know, they may not join a small group, because the thing about Sunday school was you're already at church. Right. You don't have to take another night after you get home from work to schedule to go to attend another, which is basically kind of like a mini church, a small group meeting, you know, why not let them go back to doing small groups at church? They come to church an hour early. They have their Sunday school class. Then they come into service and have worship and hear the pastor's sermon, man. Then they're building community and relationships already right there. 'Cause they get to do that in the informal setting of a Sunday school class.
Right.
I think that was a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And then in the good experiences that I've had, just simply the church potluck, which we don't really do anymore.
Right.
The church potluck, everybody get to there, bring stuff, and then bring your chairs. We have beaches all up and all through the area. We're going to have a beach picnic, and like, do it, you know. I remember the church that we were in Japan, we used to have like a fellowship night. It was once a month, every single month, once a month on a certain Sunday.
Right.
We would be in the fellowship hall. Everybody would plan to bring a meal.
Right.
And we'd get together, and it's just everybody just hanging out and nothing programmed other than eat and hang out.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Just eat and hang out.
Right.
And we would just spend hours there just talking and, you know, joking around, or, you know, maybe deep conversations, or may not be, but we were spending time together.
Right.
And so
I have this idea, and I don't know. I think it's at the end, or I'm trying to think. They'll talk about upcoming events.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't remember hearing people talk about in those upcoming events, they don't talk about, you know, games that are being played, like if it's a basketball season or if it's a football season, and supporting the athletes within the church. That's a time of being able to support and to fellowship outside the four walls. I believe that would probably bring unity, build unity within it, because we got to raise these kids up, right?
Yeah.
If these kids know that they're being supported by people that they really don't know, but yet they're at the games and they're cheering them on.
Oh, yeah.
It expands their mind a little bit.
And see, that
opens up their heart a little bit.
Yeah. Open your family up to other families.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, my kid's got a basketball game. You guys want to come watch and help support him?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, we got to start making this real simple and just start doing life together.
Right. I'm glad you said that. Keep it simple.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because I remember, you know, you start doing things like bring Sunday school back.
Yeah.
To give people an extra hour at the church to be around each other since they're going to be there anyway.
Sure.
Let them talk, hang out, fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then church potlucks, you know, any kind of event where you could bring people together outside of a spiritual focused meeting.
Right.
You know, just bring people together. But outside of that, just encourage people to get together. Tell them what to do. Tell them, open up your homes. Yeah. Invite people over for dinner. Invite people from the church over for lunch.
Right.
Doesn't have to be anything great or elaborate.
Right.
You're having birthday parties. Hey, let's invite these families that have kids around our kids' same age. Yeah. Let's invite them over to the birthday party.
Sure.
I remember just as a single guy in Guam, man, I'd have people in the church would invite me over to their kids' birthday parties. Like, I don't even know their kids, but I met them at church. So I'm sure I'll go hang out.
Right.
Then we end up talking, and I've got some great friends from over in Guam.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so just encourage your people to do life with other people, with other families in the church. Tell them, hey, you know, open up your church or open up your home. Invite somebody over for dinner, somebody over for lunch. Don't rush home for church. If you're going to go out to lunch after church, invite another family. How about you invite that family of new people that just showed up?
Mm-hmm.
You want, but don't just do it once. Be consistent. Repeatedly.
Right.
Exactly. Don't just, and we're speaking also to believers as well. And if everybody's doing this, then we're going to really build community.
Right.
And start to develop strong relationships.
Right.
But as long as we continue to only see each other on Sunday mornings for an hour during a service, and then we go home, we will never build community.
Won't happen. Yep.
It just won't happen.
Yep.
So, any final thoughts, Russell?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to our wake-up call. All right. What's our wake-up call subject for this week, Russell?
Distribution center.
Food distribution.
What?
Food distribution.
What's
okay.
going on with our food distributions?
All right. If you look through the news, if you aren't watching the mainstream news, right. you'll see that there is a what appears to be an agenda to destroy or limit the food supplies around the world.
Yeah, around the world. Good,
that's
good
right.
point.
That's right.
Yeah, how do you make sense of it?
Well, there is this, the Green Agenda. There is a program that China started that people are bringing on, or other countries are trying to implement, called the ESG. Mm. It's like an environmental, social grade or something like that. Basically, it's where you get a social credit score.
Wow.
And based on how you behave, how your habits are, will determine whether you're given credit or whether you get access to your bank account. If you post the wrong things on social media, you're going to get blocked from access to this or access to that. But there's also the environmental factor where they're using climate change, which, pastors, is a hoax. Okay. Mm-hmm. The climate changes typically four times a year, twice if you live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's called winter and summer.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
Otherwise, it's winter, summer, spring, and fall. It changes every year.
Right.
And the earth goes through cycles.
Yes.
So climate change is a man-made hoax that is designed for power and control and for the wealthy and to get more wealth.
Right.
Okay. And they're trying to implement this green agenda around the world where they want to be so-called carbon neutral by 2030, 2050, something like that. Yeah. And it's requiring the destruction of our food supplies. Farmers over in the Netherlands, as you can see, there's mass. If you look at the news, there's protests, massive protests. The German farmers are joining the Netherlands farmers. The Spanish farmers have joined in, and they're having massive tractor convoys and clogging up roadways because of this green agenda that's being pushed on them. And one farmer said he would have to kill 95% of his cattle in order to become compliant with this green agenda. All right, we've seen the baby formula shortages. Yep. How do you run out of baby formula?
Yeah.
Well, the FDA comes in,
right,
creates a fake, false, phony contamination story about one of the largest baby formula factories in the United States and shuts them down.
Unreal.
And the factory says, no, our stuff's clean. We're fine. And the FDA won't let them reopen. Why? They're trying to create the crisis.
Right.
So much of what
they have the solution.
That's right. Much of the what you're seeing in the world today, Pastor, is man-made crisis created so that they can implement a socialist solution.
Right.
So don't buy it.
Please
but
don't buy it.
But there have been scores of food processing plants suddenly, mysteriously burned down in the United States.
All the cattle.
That's right. And they're killing cattle.
Kansas.
They're literally killing millions of chickens in order to try to become compliant with this green agenda.
So you guys got to understand this. This isn't something that we're just saying it's going to happen. It is happening.
Yes.
And if it is happening, there's going to be cause and effect.
Yeah.
Cause and effect. Right. So you guys have to start to be able to prepare yourself for what is going to come.
That's right.
Because if this is happening, cause and effect, we will have a shortage.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are we going to do about it? So we have a beautiful opportunity to be able to get ahead of that story and allow our community to handle it correctly.
Yeah, that's right. There's going to be time where churches, your food banks, may have to be used to feed your own people.
Right. And so, nothing wrong with that, right?
That's right. That's right. So the church needs to prepare for a man-made global food shortage slash famine.
Sure.
It could happen. And you need to, that's why pastors, you need to wait. That's why this is called the wake-up call. Mm-hmm. So you can wake up and know what's going on in the world. So your church and your people don't get caught unaware.
Right.
All right. Even if it never turns out
As bad as what it could
as
be.
As bad as what it could be, exactly. Right. Even if the globalists are not successful, at least your people, they can see, because you've shown them what's happening, and they can resist it, they can speak out against it, they can share it with other people, and they can prepare.
Right.
All right, we all need to have a little bit of prepper in us.
Sure.
It's always a good time, and especially just living in Florida.
Yeah.
You should have a couple months' food supply,
right,
some a water supply, possibly a generator, you know, basic things like that. But we need to prepare and have some have access to food, not only for our own families, but again, because we're part of community, so we have the resources to help each other out.
Absolutely.
Now, this isn't something we do out of fear, because we know God's going to take care of us.
Sure.
You know, I fully trust the scripture that says that in times of famine, we will have plenty.
Right.
I think that's in the Psalms. Yeah. And so I fully believe God. I'm not fearful. We're not worried.
Right.
But it's important for you to know, let your people know why they might be seeing bare shelves at the grocery stores.
Sure. Sure.
And because the globalists are trying to create a famine and use it to their advantage to implement their agendas. And if you need more information on that, you can go out to the World Economic Forum's website and look up Agenda 20. It was Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 2030 because our plans got disrupted.
Yep.
So this is a real thing. It's not a conspiracy.
Mm.
And ultimately their goal is the globalists want to own all the land.
Mm-hmm.
So you own nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to eat the beef and the chicken and the pork while the rest of us eat bugs.
Yeah.
And
sounds like the Hunger Games all over again.
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
But just visit the World Economic Forum website. You'll hear it from their own mouths. They literally want us, the masses, to eat bugs.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's just a total thirst for power and wealth, and we can't let it happen. So there's our wake-up call. And any final comments, Russ?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you back at the Church Awakened podcast. Have a wonderful week.
To Real Talk for Real Church. Now go, share what you've learned with others, seek God diligently about your role in the great harvest, and be the Church Awakened.